Christmas season is on us. Most of you may be familiar with these terms, but it started with Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, tomorrow Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday, and Web Wednesday. All these days have been set aside. I did not realize that. I was talking to one of the merchants. They said, man, we got to get our stuff out because we lost 10 days this year for Christmas. I said, how'd you lost 10 days? They said, Thanksgiving was pushed way to the end. And so we didn't have a time to get all our merch. So if you notice, in most houses, or in my house, there's a turkey in the window, but there's a tree on the other side. So we got Thanksgiving and Christmas back to back. Amen? However, with all the commercialization, all the materialism, we've left Jesus out. It should be Christmas. Christ Christmas. Christianity, Christmas is about the Christ child. Amen? Jesus is the reason for the season. We've left him out. And we talked about it in our Sunday school lesson. You can go all over the world and they got all kind of decorations and trees and garlics and everything, but a lot of people don't even know who Jesus is. Or they know a historical Jesus, but they don't know him for themselves. So God's greatest gift to mankind, we use this time of the year to talk about, is the Christ child. 2 Corinthians 9:15 say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The gift is Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, I have a picture up on the wall. We put it up every year. You see the star up there, but you see Mary and the baby, but you see a big gift, and it's to the world. God sent his son unto the world. Now, if you look right there at the foot of the cradle, you'll see three crosses. So Jesus came to die for our sins. Amen? 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Amen. This morning we're going to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the birth of Jesus. Now, I talked a little about this in Sunday school. People say, or atheists say, or other cults say, how can you believe in a God you can't see? I mean, you can't see Jesus, so how do you believe in that? Well, there's a lot of things you can't see. You can't see gravity. You get on a building and jump off, I tell you what, you're going to go straight down. You can't see oxygen. There's oxygen in this room. You can't see it. So a lot of time we argue with stuff that doesn't make sense because there's a lot of things that we believe in that we can't see. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to talk about that today. So take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 1. We've already walked over it in our Sunday school lesson, but we're going to teach again today on the role of the Holy Spirit in the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1. Luke happened to be written by Dr. Luke. He wasn't a disciple, but he was a disciple of, we believe, Paul. He wasn't one of the original disciples, but he was a historian and he was a doctor. So what greater person didn't hear about the virgin birth than the doctor? Amen? Luke chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 31. And then we're going to look at a few verses, then I'll give you my text, and then we'll pray. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. I'll read 31, you read 32 until we get 35. And behold, this is the angel talking to Mary. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Verse 32. Shall be great, shall be called the Son of God. Lord of God shall give to him. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Verse 34. That's what we're going to talk about today. Mary said, how is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. I don't know a man. Read verse 35 with me. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called Son of God. Jump down to verse 39. I read 39, you read 40, we read 41 together. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto the city of Judah. Verse 40. Verse 41 together. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Go back again. Go to Luke 1:15. We're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:15. Read that one on three. 1, 2, 3. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now jump over to Luke chapter 2, one more verse. Simeon, verse 25 and 26. Luke chapter 2, you there, say amen. I'll read 25, you read 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26. And it was sealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ. Being led, being born, filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to look at several biblical characters this morning during the birth of Christ that were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for, as my wife has said, the first Christmas of this month in the year 2019 AD. We will never see it again. We talked about that in Sunday school, after the death of Christ. Everything hinges, the calendar hinges on the birth of Christ. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson. We talked a little bit about the heavenly messengers that came to Mary, and Mary not understanding, confusion. So we'll bring that out a little bit today. Thank you for, again, our opening prayer by Deacon Jennings. He opened up to us in prayer. Thank you for a time of our testimonies, our praises, and our prayer requests. Thank you for a time of our congregational singing, our covenant reading, Lord. Thank you for the time, of an announcement by my wife, and then the offering that we took up by Jerry. And then thank you again for the praise songs that we just heard. That last one, especially Jesus, he's the reason for the season of Jesus, the center of my joy. So, Lord, I'm not sufficient, so I pray now, Lord, you forgive me of my sins, that you fill me, just like these characters in the Bible, with your Holy Spirit for just a little while, to help me to preach and teach the unadulterated word of God, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let me just start out by telling you the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit are the same thing. We hear the term Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. The preference here, we ought to call the Holy Spirit, because number one, there's no such thing as a ghost. Now, I know you've been heard about boo and spooky and the ghost coming in my room, but let me just tell you, there's no such thing as a ghost. The Bible used the term Holy Ghost, but it's all from the same Greek word pneuma, which means spirit or air. So the term is Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Now, I had this conversation again. The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is a person. People struggle with that. Well, how can he be a person? Because the Bible say, and when he is come, he used the pronoun he. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, we're going back to the Trinity again. We have three persons of the Godhead bodily. We have God the Father, number one. We have God the Son, number two. And then we have God the what? Holy Spirit. So again, I told you again, a lot of people say, I don't know how you believe in something you can't see. Well, you can't see the wind. You can't see a lot of things. You can't see gravity. You can't see oxygen. But yet we believe in it. So don't use that term, you can't believe. We believe in a lot of things we cannot see. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit, John 16, 13, say, how be it when he, personal spirit, the spirit of truth have come, he will reprove the world of sin. He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, when he's come, he's called the comforter, a paraclete. He's somebody that come alongside and helped you. Amen? That's the benefit of being a Christian. I have a helper. He's the Holy Spirit. That's why Brother Jenny was saying he'll never understand because he don't have the Holy Spirit. You're correct. You have to have the Spirit of God living in you to understand the virgin birth. Amen? That's a cardinal doctrine, the virgin birth. He said, whom I will send unto you. from the Father. And the Holy Spirit does not go around talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. So for all these people that want to exalt the Spirit, he don't exalt himself. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues? No, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit talks about Jesus. And I got one tongue and it's English, and that's what I'm going to talk with, amen? So it's talking about being filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? John 14, 7 says, he dwelleth with you, but he shall be in you. If I can teach this morning, as we study the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit did not come until the day of Pentecost. He was in the world, but he didn't indwell people. He came up on people to do a task. But today, if you're a believer, I got up the word, they'll believe. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit displayed from heaven, live in your heart. Amen? Today, because of the day of Pentecost, we have the Holy Spirit. Now, back then, the time of the Old Testament, he would come up on people. And we have a man in the scripture that God took his Holy Spirit from. His name was King Saul. King Saul was supposed to have been a man of God, but he went and sought a witch of Endor. Y'all remember the story? And God said, come on, Saul, I'm not speaking to you with dream. I'm not speaking to you with vision. And then you're going to go and call a witch. I'm going to take my spirit from you. But today, if you're a believer, you cannot lose the Spirit of God. He's sealed in me. Even when I'm doing wrong, the Holy Spirit in me. And one thing that he does when I'm doing wrong is he bring conviction. Amen. Or he grieved. Or you quench it. You say, do a Christian lie? He ought not to, because the Holy Spirit is going to let him know you lying. By the way, you ever told a lie and then you feel bad about it? And you have to say, Lord, forgive me for telling that lie. The Holy Spirit will grieve you. And when you're doing something wrong, I'm not going to name what you do wrong, but the Holy Spirit will let you know. It'll let you know. And you'll feel bad about it. If you're a Christian, you'll feel bad about it. So I want to give you 3 points today as we talk about being born by the Holy Spirit. Being born by the Holy Spirit. The first one is the Virgin Mary was born or impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Now I know you're saying, preacher, you intelligent, but how in the world can a Holy Spirit impregnate a woman? I'm going to just tell you like this. If God can speak the world into existence, if God can throw the stars out there, if God can tell the earth to bring forth the land and the water, he can do what he wants to. Amen? Amen? He can put a seed in a virgin. We already talked about a virgin having a seed. The seed comes from the man, but God saw it fit to put the seed in Mary when she was a little teenage girl. Amen, somebody. And here's the verse that explains everything. Look back to Luke chapter 1 real quick. I'm going to give you the verse that gives you the explanation. Luke chapter 1, you there? Say amen. Amen. Verse 37, read that with me. For with God, nobody with me? Verse 1, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, you there? Say amen. Amen. Read that with me. For with God, nothing. The word impossible does not exist in God's vocabulary. Whatever he wants to do, he can do. Now, people ask a lot of dumb questions. Now, I'm not going to be hard on you today, but somebody asked me this question. They said, can God make a dog have kittens? Now, let me just tell you. God does not do anything that's contrary to nature. A dog has puppies, y'all. God is not going to make a dog have kittens. So don't ask those stupid questions. And then somebody asked the question, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? I say, hold on a minute. Y'all are asking these dumb questions. Why would he make a rock that he can't lift it if he can lift anything? So don't take man try to come up with these controversial questions. God does not do anything contrary to his nature. Amen? We're going to have a reality check. A reality check is when God get away with all your doubts and all your prejudice and he correct the things that you don't understand. So a lot of people struggle with the virgin birth. A lot of people struggle with Mary being impregnated by the Holy Spirit. But let me help you out. The scripture says in Romans 10, 9, faith come by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. So faith is the evidence of things hoped for, things not seen. So you got to have faith. You got to believe. So God said Mary was a virgin. The word of God says that. Amen? God speaks about the unseen. God speaks about having faith. Faith is conviction of something that I cannot see. The backdrop, I gave you this in Sunday school. When God created the world, the Bible said the earth was empty and without void. He told it the water spread and the dry land come.
When the water spread, they were empty.
The waters, the ocean, the rivers had no life. God impregnated the water. You have whales, you have dolphins, you have catfish, you have eels, you have crappie. God put the sea in the water. Amen, somebody. God also did the same thing to the dust. God told the earth, when the earth was created, it was empty, without life. He told the earth to bring forth the living beasts. That's where we get the lions and the tigers and the bears and the monkeys and the gorillas and the cattle. God gave life to the earth. Amen, somebody. Y'all looking at me kind of strange, so I guess I'm going to have to prove it to you. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. By the way, I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe that an amoeba became a tadpole that became a frog that jumped out of the water and became a monkey, jumped in a tree and became a man, his tail fell off, and he stood up. I don't believe in that. I believe that God created the world and he created man and beast. Exodus chapter 8. We've been studying Exodus. Jerry was asking me about that. I thought we was going through the Bible. I said, Jerry, it's Christmas time. We got to go back to the New Testament. Exodus chapter 8. When you're there, say amen. God gave 10 plagues. We were studying that in our Sunday school lesson. But we're going to look at plague number 3. Look at verse 16. Exodus chapter 8. Y'all with me? I read 16, you read 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite, what? The dust. I'm telling you what dust now. This is dirt. Go out there on the earth and see the dust. The dust of the land, that it may become lice. God given life to dirt throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 17. Now to show you that God can only give life or put a seed in the ground, look at verse 18. And the magician did so with their enchantments to bring forth life. But what it says? But they could not. So there were lice upon men and upon beasts. Now look what they say in verse 19. Read that.
And then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, and Pharaoh's
people always say, I believe in evolution. It started out with amoeba. Well, here's the question. Where did the amoeba get his life from? It started out with a little. Well, where did it get his life from? Let me tell you. The only person that can give life to dirt or life to anything is God. Well, I don't believe in God. You don't believe in God? Well, what do you believe in? I said this Thanksgiving today. It'll be a sad thing to be an atheist at Thanksgiving, to sit at my table and I don't have nobody to thank. He don't realize that the air he breathes, God gave it to him. His lungs, the body, the intrinsic body. But I'm telling you, just like God can give life to the dirt, just like God can give fish in the sea, God can take a seed and put it in a girl. Amen? Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Mary is the first person we want to talk impregnated. Faith is the conviction. God spoke the world into existence. He gave life to the sea, the whale, the dolphin, the fish, the turtle, the eels, the birds. God put the seed in the water. He gave life to the dirt. God made the lion, the bears, the cattle, the horses, the goat, the sheep. God gave life to the dirt. God impregnated the earth. God impregnated. God gave life. So when God told Mary, the Holy Ghost is will come upon you, God is the one that took here the seed and her egg and fertilized it. We talked about surrogate mother. We talked about the gastronomic problem where you can take, and by the way, Kanye West and Kim Kardashian, they did the same. They took their seed and they took the egg and they put it in a woman and she had a child for them. Amen, somebody. So God did that for Jesus. The Holy Spirit took the seed and took her egg and fertilized and put it in the incubator, and Jesus was born sinless. Amen, somebody. I don't know why we have a hard time. We believe all that other stuff going on in the world. Why can't we believe God can do the same thing? I preached to you this morning about, by the way, I'm not trying to be hard on anybody, but they have today what I call sperm banks. Oh, y'all don't want me to preach this morning. I believe it's from the devil. They say the biggest recipients of the sperm banks are same-sex women. They're telling me they can't have a seed unless they get a man seed. Amen, somebody. Why in the world you want to marry a woman if you can't have no seed? Come on, somebody. The biggest opponent tonight is single women want to have children. Well, I want to have a baby. I want no man. Well, something wrong with that. Because God gave the man the seed. Amen, somebody. Mary going to find out she was a little bit concerned because she's saying to herself, well, Lord, I ain't been with no man. You going to do this? But we later on, Jared going to be teaching on that Sunday school. God going to tell Joseph, go on and marry anyway. Because what she have is of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, Mary's not lying to you, Joseph. Can you see the story? Joseph, I got some news for you. I'm pregnant. What? You pregnant? We're engaged. But hold on a minute, Joseph. I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. What? What? Now, I want y'all to, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but while he thought on those things, the angel came to him and said, hold on a minute, Joseph. She's telling you the truth. Amen. Somebody. Amen. So I'm telling you, we need to believe the word of God. Amen. Amen? Amen? Again, Mary was overshadowed. One time in the world, I want you to hear me well, a virgin has a child. It will never, ever happen again. You say, well, does that happen again? Well, I just gave it to you. One time the angels in heaven sinned when Lucifer was up there and God locked them in destruction. It'll never happen again. One time we had a flood. Noah built an ark. There will never, ever be a worldwide flood. So don't tell me things can't happen but one time. God had a virgin one time because Jesus had to come into the world. Amen? Question to you, who named Adam? God named Adam. Well, who named Jesus? God named Jesus. God told her, by the way, a woman don't know whether she's going to have a female or a male when she get conceived. But the angel told her, you're going to see it in your womb and you're going to bring forth a son. God only somebody can tell her. And then name him. And his name shall be Jesus. Are y'all listening to me? God only somebody can do that. God can name, by the way, I know several people and you know them. Went and had an ultrasound. This guy had painted the room all blue. He was a big football player. And he had this ultrasound and he's going to have this big 9-pound, 14-ounce baby boy. A big old girl came out. So man can't predict the gender. Amen? Amen? By the way, I didn't mean to preach on this, but I'm going to preach on it anyway. Your gender is decided by God. We into this transgender thing and bisexual thing. And they got asexual. What in the world that come from? God made man and woman. How in the world you don't know what you made?
You don't know about your origins.
Where did we come up with this generation who fussing with God? I call it, you hating on God. God me. God made me a man. I'm a man. God made me black. I'm black. I can honor God. I don't want to be black. I don't want to be man. But I'm Christian, Almighty God. Don't tell me you don't know what you are. I know what you are. But God made you. By the way, if you didn't know it, since Saul, y'all looking at me kind of strange, somebody gonna say, God made him a dog. I'm a dog. Now, how you get to be a dog? I wasn't made that way. God, let me tell you, if you let stuff go down the slope, that slippery slope, it'll get worse. Amen? Oh, y'all want me to preach this morning. We are approving everything. Pretty soon, pedophilia will be approved. Are y'all listening to me? Well, it's okay for me to have a five-year-old girl. Wait a minute, wait a minute. God made me that way. Now, God didn't make you that way. That's a lie from the devil. But we need to preach the truth. Oh, y'all don't want me to preach that morning. We need to preach the truth. God called Mary and gave her a seed and told her the seed would be Jesus. And it was all decided by God before she was ever pregnant. He told her it's going to be a son. And Isaiah said a son and the government would be on his shoulder. God made the decision. Amen, somebody. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Mary was a virgin. She was born by the Holy Ghost. She was living a virtuous life. She lived a Christian life. Mary wasn't anything ordinary. She just lived the life, and God, through his grace, picked her. Amen? By the way, you can be used of God. We're going to talk about this when I get to the end of my message. Not only was Mary filled, but every Christian ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Point number two. Born by the Holy Spirit. Mary was, the Virgin Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And the forerunner of Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Amen, somebody. I was out knocking on the door one time. Lady had a 19-year-old son. And I said, we like to talk to him about the Lord. He was selling drugs. We like to talk to him about the Lord. She said, my son is saved already. I said, when did he get saved? He was saved in my womb. I said, ma'am, he can't be. Yes, he can. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his womb. He was saved in my womb. I said, that's some bad teaching again. If y'all don't get it, I want you to get it today. No child is saved in the womb. John the Baptist was a special case. He was the forerunner of Christ. God, through dispensation, allowed his mother. Matter of fact, when Mary knocked on Elizabeth's door, the Bible said the baby leaped in the womb. Y'all with me today? By the way, children have to be saved on their own. People bring their children to the, they say, well, preacher, I'm ready. My child ready to be saved. No, your child has to come to they a sinner and they on their way to hell and they have to, you can baptize a child, you can bring him in church, and you can do him when he's 3 or 4 years old and he go up and sell drugs and be a gangster all his life. That don't save nobody. You're saved by belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every child, you say, well, what age? There is no age. It's called when you come to know right from wrong. The age of accountability is different from everybody. Everybody have a different IQ level. There's some kids can get saved at 5 and 6. There are others don't wait till they're 15 or 16. Amen? John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Ghost from his womb. Not only was John, I like about this whole family. His whole family was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible said when Mary knocked on the door, when Elizabeth heard the sound of Mary, she was already pregnant. Elizabeth was pregnant. She was 6 months pregnant. Y'all with me? The baby leaped in the womb, and the Bible said, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know why the daddy had to be the last one, because he wouldn't get it right. Of everybody that should have known, the scripture should have been Zechariah. The high priest was one that went in for the people. He would go in and he would make an atonement in the Holy of Holies at the mercy seat for the people. If anybody should have known, the God's word should have been him. He was in there for a long time. The people was out waiting on him. And while then Gabriel came from heaven and said, John, your prayers have been heard. Your wife shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be John the Baptist. Y'all remember that? And you know what he going to do like men. I don't know why we men are thick-headed. How this going to be? How you going to do this?
I'm 9 years old.
The angel said, since you intelligent, since you got that stubborn man spirit, you're going to be dumb. And you won't be able to speak because you would not believe the word of God. Now, can you imagine this? You the priest, just like I'm the preacher. And the people waiting on him to come out from the temple. He done been in there making that sacrifice. And when he come out, he would raise his hand and tell the people, God has accepted the sacrifice. And God is going to bless Israel. And when he came out of the temple, he said, people said, he can't talk. Y'all remember the story? And the people got afraid. And then later on, here it is, you ladies ought to understand this. 9 months later, she started dilating. The water broke. Y'all with me now? John the Baptist pops out of there, a big bouncing baby boy. And the relative run to John running and said, Zachariah Jr. Zachariah, y'all remember the story? Zachariah Jr. And everybody, just like all his cousins, all his, you know, oh, Zachariah, we're so proud. And the mama said, no. His name is John. What? John? Ain't nobody in our family named John. Where in the world are you coming up with John? So they fussing at the mama. Here she is in the hospital. In the maternity ward, saying the name John. No! I can see her sisters and brothers. No! So they went and got a writing pad. Are y'all with me? Y'all with me? They went and got a writing pad. Now here's the priest now, can't talk. They gave him a pencil. They said, tell us what his name is. And he began to write, J-O-H. And by the time he hit that E, his tongue loose, he said, John the Baptist. And he's going to be great. And he's a son. And he's going to pass away. People say, oh, Lord, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So let me tell you, Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Zachariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. God was setting up the stage for the Christ child to be born. Amen? Writing town, filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I got to give you this other one. That was an old man in the temple named Simeon. He probably, you know how you get old and you build a cane. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He probably would come to church every day like this. And the Holy Spirit had told him. You said, how he told him? I don't know how he told him, but he told him. Said that now, you're not going to die until you see the Christ child come in. Let's just say he was 90. Jerry already said he was 90. So he walking in that day, that very day, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple. Y'all with me? When they came through the door, it's almost like they came through them doors there. The Holy Spirit got on top of that old man and said, they ill. And the Bible says he was so excited. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He went and grabbed that child and he lifted him up. He said, now let my heart go down in fear. I can go to my grave because I see the Christ child. Amen? I don't know how this came to my thinking, but I was thinking about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when they said, he said, I might not get to the mountaintop. I might not get to it. He said, but my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. He said, I've seen little white children and little black children from Mississippi join hands together. I see the mountains of Signal Mountain, look at the hills of Mississippi. And he was preaching what he had seen. Oh, Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary was filled because she was impregnated. Elizabeth was filled, her cousin, because she had John the Baptist. John was filled because he was in the womb. Zachariah was filled because he believed when he wrote his name. And then old Simeon was filled. I might as well get the last one. I don't know why. I might as well get, that was an old woman in there. Her name was Anna. I want you to help me out. It ain't always women and men. Usually God have in the church women and men that are sold out. She was a widow that was living in the church. The Bible said some 80-some years after her marriage, her husband had died. So let me just say, you single women, you can still live for the Lord. Don't care how old you get. I've heard old people say, well, you know, I can't go to church because I have to go to the restroom. I said, hold on a minute. Simeon was old. He went to church. Anna was 90-some years old. She went to church. That's an excuse. You go everywhere else. You go to Walmart. You go to the grocery store. Why in the world? And by the way, church ain't but maybe an hour, hour and a half. Even if you have to go to the restroom, sit near the bathroom and go to the restroom. But don't neglect. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling ourselves together as the day approach. But with joy, we need to come to fellowship together. Amen? Mary was filled with the Holy Ghost. Came upon her. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. The baby leaped in the womb. John was filled with the Holy Ghost. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost. Simeon, the old man, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then later on, Anna. By the way, this is not in my message, but I hope that I be like Abraham. I may die early. I may die before I get 80. But if I live to be an old man, I want to be sitting on the bed and talking to the Lord. Say when the nurses come in, I'm singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. They said this preacher was about to die, and they came to see him, and he said, give me the Bible. They said, what you want the Bible? He said, I want to look at that verse again. And he turned to the Bible in Hebrews, and he read to everybody. He was in his 90s. He said, when God could swear on none other, he swore on himself. Let me tell you, don't depend on no man. God died for me. I can't keep my salvation. He keeps me himself. So guess what? No matter what goes, and matter of fact, I don't want to preach on this. I said that one time, and the guy said, don't speak that. I said, well, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to live. I might come down with all time. He said, don't say that. Look, I know a preacher. Matter of fact, we know a preacher. He came down with dementia and Alzheimer's. I went to see him at the nursing home. He didn't know who he was. But that didn't change his salvation. Are y'all listening to me? That didn't change where he was going. I remember seeing him, and I don't know if y'all ever had this happen to you. You be close to somebody, and then you go to see them, and they don't even recognize. Y'all ever had that? And it breaks your heart. And you be wanting to say, oh, you know. And he was just walking around. And I said, that's the same preacher that used to preach the word of God. Used to preach like but God was telling me then, that ain't got nothing to do. He's on his way to heaven. Your salvation, here it is sealed in Christ Jesus. Amen? By the Holy Ghost. And then my last point before I close, I already gave it to you. Not only was all these people in the Bible filled with the Holy Ghost, but every Christian, sitting up on the sound of my voice, that love the Lord, amen, you ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, there's a lot of Christians that they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. They're living a righteous life. They're not doing what God tells them to do. But I'm telling you today that you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus told his disciples this. He said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and what? Lose his soul. What can I give in exchange for my soul? Let me tell you, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul said it like this. Don't be drunk with wine. We're in excess. Today it would be don't be drunk with wine or drugs, because they got all kinds of stuff today. Drugs, you don't know it. Folk be drunk. And by the way, whether you know it or not, when you get enumerated, when you got wine or drugs in your system, you do what the wine or drugs tell you to do. I'm saying, don't be like that. You're with the Holy Ghost. You say, how do you know you be filled with the Holy Ghost? Because it'll come out of your mouth. Somebody said, if a mosquito bites you, holy, holy, holy. Something in the blood. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and let me help you out. If you got a cup of water and it's filled with water and you bump the cup, what fall out? Water. So if you got a Christian that's filled with the Holy Ghost, if you step on his toe, he ought to say hallelujah. If you punch him in the face, he ought to say praise to God. If you cuss him out, he ought to say everything's going to be all right. But you know what we do? We get in the flesh. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. And then like Sharon said, you say, I ain't Jesus. I ain't got nothing to do. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will give you the thing to do. Let me tell you, if God had gave us a book that we couldn't keep, it wouldn't make no sense. He gave us a life that we can live. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'm tired of hearing Christians. I can't live the life. Yes, you can. You don't want to live. Like Sharon said, you don't want the Lord. You don't want to do right. You want to live in sin. You want to commit fornication. You want to lie to people. You want to do people wrong. Don't give me that lie. I was talking to this Muslim. You know, when you talk to people, you can tell when they get frustrated. You can't believe that Jesus stuff. And then he start cursing. I said, hold on a minute. I said, now you told me you was a man of God. You ain't got to use those curse words. And then he tried to justify. He said, you know, damn is what
the water hole up. I said, come on now.
you ain't used that like that for me. You told me some bad words, you know. And people try to justify. They were. Let me tell you, when you're a Christian and you filled with the Holy Ghost, it ought to flow out of you. Amen. Jesus was filled. Matter of fact, the Bible said it didn't give him by measure. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails. They beat on him. He never said a mumbling word. Amen? You got to learn how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You're sealed. You're filled daily. You got to ask the Lord to fill you. You're indwelled when you got saved. When you got saved, he told Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You are filled when you get saved. The day that I bowed my head and asked the Lord to save me, I got indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Everybody here, if you're a Christian, you got the Holy Spirit. But the problem with us is we grieve the Holy Spirit. We lie to the Holy Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit. Stop doing that. Obey the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You've been sealed to the day of redemption. Ephesians 1:13 says, after that you have heard the word of God, the gospel you are sealed. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in the spirit and truth. The Bible says in Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. If so, that the spirit of God dwells in you, you need to yield to the spirit. Now, if any man have not the spirit of God, he's none of his. The spirit is the vital part of man. It's the one that lives forever. It's the spirit that saves. God communicates to us through his Holy Spirit. Amen. There was a man in the church in Corinthians that was sleeping with his stepmama. Y'all ain't like about this in the Bible. And Paul told the church of Corinth, he said, y'all are puffed up. You know that man sleeping with his stepwife, his stepmama, and nobody said anything about it. Paul said, deliver him to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of redemption. Let me tell you, my daughters will tell you, Daddy, you hard. No, I'm not hard. I just think people all know the truth. I don't think you need to continue to be around people and they doing everything and anything and they're carousing and sin and you don't say nothing. Well, you know, they know. No, they don't know. Somebody needs to tell them. It's wrong what you do. It's wrong doing the stuff. You need to honor the Lord. You need to follow the Lord. Don't do it because I said
it. Do it because the Lord said
it. Amen? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Bible says it like this in Revelation 21. Adulterers, fornicators, whoremongers, sorcerers, and adulterers, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire. The Bible says it like this. If you're living a homosexual life and you're living a bent life, and by the way, I might preach a homosexual, but there's some heterosexuals living bad. You say, well, you always, no. There's some men that are cheating on their wife. Preacher. There's some women cheating on their husband. Preach, preacher. Oh, y'all want me to preach this morning? You ever get one of these? Sharon said, I hate to keep preaching to Sharon. Somebody text you on Facebook. They hit you on Facebook. Boom, boom. And they say, oh, I see you. I like to get with you. You better check them out. Because there's a lot of married men who give a false alias name. I don't know, but y'all, but see, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and men used to take the ring off their finger. Oh, y'all don't remember them days, do you? But the funny thing about that is, you can still see the ring. You can still see it. See, you can take it off, but you can still see where it was. But
When they go to the club, oh y'all, me preaching, man. When they go to the club, or when they go to the restaurant, they take their ring out, stick in their pocket. Oh, I don't see no ring. I had a lady get on me, and I understand why she got on me. She says, "Your pastor don't have his wedding ring on." I say, "He don't." I went to him. I say, "Hey, man, a woman in the church said you don't have your wedding ring on." He said, "Well, it broke." I say, "You know what? Me and you headed to the hill. We headed down to the, well, what's those little stores that they get, where they sell stuff and buy stuff? Pawn shop. I shouldn't tell y'all this. I bought that boy a wedding ring. I ain't give 50, but I got him one. So I had to worry about the girl saying, "You taking him around in your car, and he married, but he ain't got no ring on." So I told him this. I said, "Look, I don't want anything to stumble people, but you're going to wear this ring. You're going to wear this ring because people see the ring." Oh, y'all don't want me to pray, do you? Was that I shouldn't say it, but I said, we was at a graduation, and I had some family members there, and it came back to me, your family members hitting on all the women. I said, hitting on all the women? I said, he too old to be hitting on all the women. He telling everybody looking for a wife. Every woman he met, "I don't see no wedding ring on your hand. I'm looking for a wife." Oh yeah. Y'all see men like that, right? So I approached him. I said, "Look, you're embarrassing me." I said, "You don't need to go to every woman in here and say you're looking for a wife." "Well, they ain't got no ring." I said, "I don't care. You need to stop it. It's an embarrassment." So let me tell you, just because they don't have a ring on don't mean they ain't married, okay? So be careful. And by the way, social media today is a trick. That's how come these young girls get caught up with these men. They tell them they're 17 and they're 49 years old. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They get caught up with this. And then a guy told me right over here in Red Bank, I'll just be honest with you, they lost a teenager through Facebook. She met some guy online and they ain't never found her. Let me tell you, it's dangerous. Let me tell you. So don't trust people when they send you a friend me or be let me be your friend or let me start sending you something, because it's a lie. Amen, somebody. So you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, since I do a little bit of business, I do meet a lot of people. But let me tell you, the best, I've been on my daughter about this. She probably don't like me preaching on it. The best time to meet somebody is at a public place. Yeah, that's the best time. You don't need to come to my house. I don't need to meet your house. Meet me at the Waffle House. There's a lot of folks down there. I don't know you. You don't know. We've been talking on the phone. But you're going to meet me at the Waffle House. Or you're going to meet me somewhere. There are a whole lot of folk there. Amen. And by the way, I might have somebody with me. I'm going to go and share this with y'all. I shouldn't share this with y'all, but since I'm excited today, I had told this lady I'm going to come to her house and share the gospel with her. The Holy Spirit must was in me because I didn't go. I sent some of the guys over there. They went and knocked on the lady door. She came to the door in a negligee. And then had the nerve to say, What Jeter? I said, "She didn't." "Yes, she did." They said, "We didn't go in." I said, "I'm glad you didn't go in." And then the Holy Spirit told me, "I'm so glad I didn't send you." Oh, y'all laughing. Y'all laugh, but people do that on purpose. Y'all laugh. People do that on purpose. So you need to be very careful. I'm gonna tell you, you need to be very careful. People will set you up. So you better ask the Holy Spirit, "Should I meet them? Or should I take somebody with them?" That's why the Bible says go out two by two, because it's very dangerous. And I'm a preacher, let me tell you, I don't talk to no woman alone. I take my wife. Let me tell you, you need to be careful. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 says the Spirit dwells in you.
so it shall quicken your body. Hebrews says to the general assembly, which written in heaven, that we all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let me help you out. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, all it's saying is that I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm righteous, I'm faithful, I'm committed, and I'm obedient. You can't be filled with the Spirit if you ain't obeying nothing. You need to obey authority. I don't mean to preach on this, but I'm going to preach to y'all. Tell my wife I said this when I'm gone. Biggest thing that tearing up our homes today, y'all don't mean to preach this, but I preach it, is women liberation. Women need to learn how to be respectful and obey their husband. Preach out! I'm educated. I got more education than he do. I got my PhD. I got my JD. He can't tell me nothing. He ain't qualified. He ain't an expert on the subject. I don't care if he been to the third grade. If he's your husband, then you ought to submit to him. Preach, preacher. Lost today. We need to get back. We need to get back. We need to get back. Obedient. Y'all calm down, baby. Let me finish. Let me throw in this postscript. The reason our homes are messed up is when the wives start acting up, then the children. Well, mama don't do what you say. I ain't got to do what you say. All right, you don't tell me what to do. Cut off the TV. I ain't cut off the TV. All right, get off the phone. I ain't get off the phone. You can't tell me what to do. Let me tell you, we need to get back to order in the home. We need a spirit-filled husband. Need a spirit-filled wife. Spirit-filled children. If we get back to the way God ordained it, we'll have a great Christmas. Amen? A great time. Would you bow your hands? Dear Heavenly Father, I've done as you commanded. I shared the good news of being filled, being bored by the Holy Ghost, and how the Holy Ghost bored Mary and Elizabeth and Zachariah and John and Simeon and Andrew. And then even today, Lord, we as Christians, and when I'm talking about being filled, I'm talking about doing everything decently in order. I always tell people that God is not the author of confusion. You fussing and arguing and always got some disputations. I'm wrong with that. We need to get back to being obedient and filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, bless that we give them, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and praise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Stand to your feet with your head bowed. We'll sing a verse or two of Come to Jesus.
I started to go out there and put up a banner outside and everything. Hey, you better come down and get some of this. But I'm gonna say this, and y'all know it's so true and everything. You know, I don't know. And he's a little more animated now than he's been and everything. You know, I guess he was a little stiff, but now he's kind of lightening up. But he's a powerful preacher and everything. You know, and I think, you know, as we go into the holidays and everything, you know, we all just need to give him credit. And anytime you see him, you know, make sure you go by and shake his hand, because he's a powerful preacher. Let us pray. Once again, Heavenly Father, as we come closing out this service on this day, we thank you. We thank you for your messenger. We thank you for your message. And we just ask that that it resonates in each and every one of our hearts, and that we go out and just tell everybody what the Holy Spirit does and everything. Because sometimes, you know, we think that because we ain't going out and we're not being controlled. But anytime you sit and you think about what you're doing and everything, you know, and you try to make a decision left or right, the Lord and the Holy Spirit is going to guide you. So just utilize that instinct that you have built within you and everything, and we will give you all the honor and all the glory. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all the people that was present on the day, and we just ask that the numbers continue to grow, Father, and we will give you all the honor and all the glory. And as we depart from this place, we just ask you to keep one from another until we meet again, one with another, in the name of Jesus. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.